earth and sky.
When you add CO2, carbon dioxide, to seawater, it forms a weak acid, carbonic acid. And that is making the oceans more acidic. And it's already 30% more acidic than it was 200 years ago. And if we keep on emitting CO2 into the atmosphere, then ocean acidification will get worse and worse.
You're listening to Dr. Carol Turley, and this is Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science. Turley is a senior scientist with the Plymouth Marine Laboratory in the United Kingdom. At the Copenhagen Climate Summit in late 2009, Dr. Turley spoke about the impacts to marine life from ocean acidification by atmospheric CO2 with Earth Sky's Jorge Salazar.
Dr. Turley, welcome to Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science.
Hi. Nice to talk to everyone.
Now, what's most important for people to know today about what you've described as ocean acidification from atmospheric CO2? What's happening? What's important for people to know about this?
It's important for us all to realize that the CO2 that we're putting up into the atmosphere through burning fossil fuel and things like that is actually, a lot of that is being absorbed by the ocean. And while it's been buffering climate change, and without the oceans it would be far higher than it is now, so climate change would be even worse, we now realize that the amount going into the ocean, which is around 25-30% over the last 200 years since the Industrial Revolution, has already gone into the oceans. And that has had an impact on the ocean chemistry, because when you add CO2, carbon dioxide, to seawater, it forms a weak acid, carbonic acid. And that is making the oceans more acidic. And it's already 30% more acidic than it was 200 years ago. And if we keep on emitting CO2 into the atmosphere, then ocean acidification will get worse and worse. For example, by 2060, it'll be 120% more acidic if we keep doing what we're doing now. So we need to urgently reduce the amount of CO2 emissions in order to stop the ocean chemistry changing in the way that I told you. Why is that important? It's because a lot of marine organisms depend on a stable chemistry and have evolved over millions of years in a stable chemistry. And the whole cycle of carbon in the ocean is affected by this, and the organisms such as shell-forming organisms depend on this to enable them to form their shells. So as you add more CO2, you affect the carbonate ions which are used to make shells by marine organisms. And so things like coral reefs will not be able to make their shells so quickly, so fast. Things like shellfish, things we eat, will be impacted by this.
Tell us about the scientific evidence that this is happening now, that this is really affecting marine life now.
We have long-term observations of marine chemistry, of the carbonate chemistry, of pH. Over the last 30 years, we've done many oceanographic cruises, so we've got a good global database of the distribution of the marine chemistry. So we have a good idea of what's happening. And because the chemistry is so well known and so simple, you can demonstrate it in a classroom, that we can very easily model this. And so we can basically say, if we put this amount of CO2 in the atmosphere, it's going to be absorbed at this rate. You know, what's the future ocean going to look like? So the certainty is really good in terms of the chemistry. What is less certain is predicting how this changing chemistry will affect all the marine ecosystems. Marine ecosystems are incredibly complex, and of course they vary between oceans and ocean areas. So polar ecosystems are different to tropical coral ecosystems, for example, and coastal mudflats and mangrove swamps are different to open ocean ecosystems. So, you know, it's a huge thing to look at. This area of science has only recently evolved, so countries all around the world are developing programs The EU have got a multi-million pound program to look at this. The UK have, Germany has, the US are working to that effect now. It's going through Congress. There's Congress hearings on this. And researchers, marine scientists and chemists all over the world are turning their attention to this and addressing it. So it's a really important issue. And it's not one mad lone scientist. It's governments and intergovernmental organizations and fishermen themselves and the general public are becoming more and more concerned about this.
Yeah, you talked about the complexity of what's happening, the complexity of what's happening with ocean acidification.
Well, if you think of seawater, when you go for a swim, you're going for a swim in a planktonic soup. So it's each teaspoon of water has got millions of organisms in it because the basis of the marine food chain are microorganisms. So unlike on land, it's grass and trees. In the oceans, other than the edges, it's tiny little microscopic organisms. And they're eaten by something a little bit bigger and a little bit bigger and a little bit bigger. So it's highly complex. Things that eat things eat other things too. So it's a web rather than a chain. And a very complex, I don't know if you have the term cat's cradle, you know, with lines going between everything. And so if you cut a little bit of that, how many little bits can you cut before the whole cradle falls apart? It's very, very hard to predict that. But on the other hand, we've seen marine ecosystems that have been impacted by man, perhaps change in riverine input through damming and things like that. And you see this regime shift in the ecosystems, and they've become far less complex. So the complexity, the biodiversity disappears. And actually, they become less productive. So it's kind of the warning lights are on if we lose that diversity that exists in the sea. And of course, marine organisms have different stages in their life cycle as well. So they're not just small and growing into bigger things, like a kitten grows into a cat. They have these larval stages, so more like insects in that sense. And each stage has a different existence. So one part might be in the seawater, in what we call the plankton. Another part might be settled, like a limpet, on a rock or something like that. Or a lobster, you know, running around on the seabed. But it has several stages, larval stages, that are in the plankton. And in that area, it's experiencing a totally different part of the environment than scurrying about on the seabed. So these stages are very, very vulnerable. That's one of the things that many scientists now are looking at, is the trade-offs the lobster will have through its life cycle on the energy it gets through food, how much it puts into growth, how much it puts into reproduction, how much it puts into forming its skeleton. And in this future ocean, where the chemistry's changed, then it would have to put more energy into forming its shell, into calcifying. And in some parts of the world, it is very unlikely that calcifiers will exist if we keep on burning fossil fuels, because the waters will become corrosive to them. They just won't be able to produce shells.
You've been listening to Carol Turley, a microbial ecologist and biogeochemist with the Plymouth Marine Laboratory in the UK. To subscribe to this and other free science interview podcasts, visit the subscribe page at earthsky.org. I'm Deborah Bird. EarthSky is a clear voice for science.
We're at earthsky.org.